Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah. This is. I like Vader's helmet too. It's got that. It's kind of got that Macquarie vibe to it.
Mm.
These are good. People are gonna love listening to us. Look at pictures.
And next, we're gonna watch some paint dry.
That's right.
That's right.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello and welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. I'm your host, Dan Z, enjoying a fresh cup of coffee in my Disney Star Wars Cruise coffee mug. This one is from 2016, and we are in for a real treat tonight because obviously D23 and all the announcements from the expo are fresh in our minds, so we got to bring in the heavy hitters. The first guest I'd like to introduce is the co-founder and co-creator of Coffee with Kenobi, as well as the award-winning designer of the striking Rebel Orange CWK logo, Mr. Corey Club.
Hello there. Hello. Welcome. Thank you very much for having me on.
Hey, man. It's just like riding a bike. I think you'll be on.
That's right. Yeah. It's natural.
Good deal. And then our next guest is a Star Wars super fan, a longtime CWK family member, and a frequent guest on Rebels Reactions, Mr. David Modders.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing great. This is your first appearance on Coffee with Kenobi, correct?
Absolutely.
Good deal. Well, we are happy to have you both on. Tom Gross, our CWK newsman, will be on later. And Jason Brain will help us break down Star Wars Land reveals from the D23 Expo. And then in our coffee chat segment, we're going to break down the Last Jedi like behind-the-scenes sizzle reel from D23. So before we jump into D23 news, I do want to point out two little things that happen in the world of Coffee with Kenobi. The first being the CWK has an ad in the Beckett 40th Anniversary magazine, which we're pretty excited about. Kind of neat to see us there kind of in the beginning of that. And the publication for that is supposed to be pretty widespread, so that'll be nice. Did you either of you get a chance to see that?
Absolutely. I thought it was pretty cool to see it online and see it in print. And what's interesting enough to me is the fact that Beckett is still producing printable items for collectors to pick up. To me, it's like this day and age of digital stuff. To have something printed, especially even if it's just an advertisement, it's pretty unique because, again, like I said, I think it's a collector's item in a sense that there is a special edition of sense. They're going to print so many. This edition was definitely pretty hot and pretty cool to see CWK enlisting there.
And it is cool. And see, even more people are going to see your awesome logo too.
That's true. It's true.
Dave, did you get a chance to see that yet?
I didn't. I got to see this.
You'll be able to get it in just about anywhere where you can buy magazines, Walmart and Barnes & Noble, all those good places. And then it's on our CWK Instagram as well, so you'll be able to check it out there.
Nice.
Good stuff. The other thing I want to jump at real quickly is you may have noticed online I am giving the capstone presentation on September 29th for ISU's T21 Con, which is a conference for new teachers and existing teachers who use technology and innovative ways of addressing the students in the classroom. So I was very, very happy that they asked me to do that. It's tied into that article that I was a part of that we talked about a few weeks ago. So if you are in the Central Illinois area and you are an educator or just want to kind of see more about what's going on, check out the show notes for more information. And Corey, I know you'll be front and center with your smiling face, right?
I will, with my autograph pen ready, absolutely. Okay. You know, Dan, it's cool to see this stuff, blossom, I guess, in our local area. I know we've got some media here and there, but even particularly at ISU, your alma mater, just be able to have a voice there and just grow that education fandom on that side of things. You just do a great job, I think, exploring that, educating folks, and bring real accolades to the school there. I mean, you got a sign, you had like a basketball last fall. You had a couple accolades as well, I mean, in memberships and stuff like that. So for them to obviously bring you on one more time and bring you to this event is awesome. I'm really proud of you, man. Very cool.
Well, hey, thanks, bud. Thanks, bud. And again, it's good to have you back on the air with us. I know the CWK family is missed hearing your voice. In fact, I've had a few people tell me that they really like the new format, which I appreciate. But they said that they still download old episodes just to hear you and I banter, which is awesome.
Well, once in a while, yeah, we'll get online and banter a little bit on Twitter and here and there for the Cubs or, you know, upcoming movies and such. But yeah, I'm still around. Still
stuff.
That's grilling. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Jen. You know, this is go ahead.
Oh, you know what I was going to say, Dan, is I think as time passes, I think you're going to be asked to do a lot more things like what you're going to do there at ISU. There's no question you're going to be asked to do a lot more of that. And I was just going to briefly comment that I've obviously listened to every episode. You know, the brand new format has been beyond cool. I love literally hearing voices and being able to put voices with names that I've seen on different websites and Twitter sites and all that. It's just, it's so neat, the two people you bring on, and it's really been expanding my knowledge of the Star Wars community. So the format is really, really neat.
Well, that's great. I'm really happy to hear you say that. That definitely is one of the things that is important to me, make sure everybody has a voice. So that I'm glad. That really makes me happy. And speaking of happy, this weekend was a Star Wars bonanza, I think. D23 Expo, Jason Brame is going to join us very, very soon to look at this more closely because he's definitely a theme park insider. But Dave is definitely no stranger to the Disney theme parks, as is Corey. And we all love our Star Wars. So, gents, we know the big news. We heard about information on Star Wars Land, which has a name now. We've got a lot of things that happened. We've got the Star Wars Resort that Jim Hill, actually, he kind of broke it as far as Star Wars podcasts go that I'm aware of on our show. I believe it was show number 75. So, and it came to fruition. And then we have a lot of Last Jedi information too. So, Corey, what do you think, bud? What are some things that stood out to you?
Yeah, you know, it's cool to see. I know this is kind of running around the rumor mill and stuff that the environment will become like a new planet. And I think something that's really unique there is the fact that something we've never stepped into. It's not like we're expecting to see a cantina. We're expecting to see some of these iconic places in Star Wars. And this is a way to step into the galaxy's edge and kind of live there in the moment. And yes, there'll be some, like I said, there will be some cool things there. I think the Millennium Falcon and such will be, you know, some parts of it will be kind of cool to see that. Some definitely some characters to kind of, you know, explore with, take pictures photos with and stuff like that. But I mean, in general, I think you're definitely, Disney brings you into these sections of theme parks that transform you, I guess, into the a step into that I don't know how to say it, that galaxy, I guess, in that era. And yeah, it totally does that all over the it's incredible. I can't wait to see more and more coming out for this. And the way back when they did release it, we're having that show on and kind of thinking about, well, what will be there, what will happen, you know, and I think it's still kind of up in the air, but still seeing this come to fruition like as it is now is so great to see that they're putting so much hard work and revealing it in such great ways. And again, doing such a great job for this franchise.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I was reading Doug Chang's interview with Dan Brooks there at StarWars.com, and in fact, I was actually, you know, thinking about both of you guys. I was hoping actually Aaron Harris and myself were going to go to that panel with Doug Chang at Celebration back a few months ago. But we're running a little behind with our picture with Jyn Erso. So Aaron,
good problem to have.
And I didn't make it. And Alan Tudyk. But just kind of catching up with what he said in that newest article, the level of detail is staggering. And I thought something what was really neat that Doug Chang said was how they're going to really, as you're walking around, you know, make something that has to last. And people are going to be looking in every nook and cranny. I've done the same thing at all four of the parks here. I'm always looking around at all the details. And I know Star Wars fans, we're as detailed as it gets. And so Doug Chang knows that. And it sounds like, you know, what did he say? We're going to build something that lasts. And that's exciting.
I think it's extremely exciting. This is the news that 2 years ago when at the previous D23 Expo, when they officially announced Star Wars Land, that actually got me teary-eyed more so than the new year, because I just know how much the theme parks mean to families and how many memories I have equated with it. And heck, Corey, Galactic Nights, we had the best time ever, and now it's going to be so much more immersive in Star Wars detailed, and It's going to be really, really intense.
Yeah. What's cool too, Dan and Dave, that just interesting enough that like the production value is so high. What's cool is they do bring in, you know, that immersive experience, but also in a way that I think is unique to the saga itself. Again, like I said before, this is a new place, but I'm curious to know, do you think they'll filter that into some of the other media, you know, relating to this planet or this system or this area that we kind of like are getting to know as time goes on? I think it'll be kind of translate over to film or such, or and some kind of heading of some sort. I'd be interested to see the translation there.
Yeah, I kind of have some theories on that, and we can talk about it a little bit now before Jason joins us. And because when I first saw the plans and the layout and an extremely detailed model, which is gigantic, by the way, sometimes some of the video, it's hard to tell, but it's massive. It's a massive model because there's so much scale and so much detail. There was a part of me that thought, wow, this is cool. This is great. I don't really recognize this. It doesn't really look like any Star Wars I'm really familiar with. So maybe there's a part of me that was hoping to see like Hoth or Tatooine or Coruscant or something like that. And the fact that it's familiar but it's different, it kind of gets that thing to you where you're not sure what to think, but you know you're excited. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think it's cool because, like I said, the park itself is an immersive experience. But yet, like you said, that you want to see things that you personally, your fandom kind of brings out, like, oh, that, yeah, the Hoth planet or this, you know, this cantina with this alien. I want to see that live in person. Right. But I think, you know, making a new experience, one that we haven't been through yet, is still just that much more exciting, I think, for fans, new fans, and folks just in general visiting the park. I mean, I figure out, you know, obviously Star Wars fans will come, but there'll be a lot of Disney fans there too. I mean, wanting to just undertake, you know, a brand new aspect of the Star Wars franchise if they never had before.
You know what I'm curious too, Corey, when you asked that question, you've got my brain going because just reading again, just a little bit of the coverage at StarWars.com, they were talking that this immersive world is on the edge of wild space. And this is fascinating because in terms of, like you said, tying this into movies through Thrawn, I'm enjoying it like crazy. But a lot of talk about wild space and the unknown regions. And then, of course, several months back, I finished Empire's End, the third book there in the Aftermath trilogy. And again, quite a bit of talk about the unknown regions and wild space. So it seems very prominent right now. Some slight undertones here or overtones from the Lucasfilm Story Group really wanting to explore that part of the galaxy. So when you said that, I'd be curious to see in the years to come if we really do see this planet appear in a movie. That'd be pretty cool.
My prediction, and this is, we'll know more as the weeks go on. My prediction is that they picked a remote space because as some of the storyline has already been established, this base was established before all the hyperspace lanes were created in the galaxy. So it allows them to be a little more creative and flexible. And because this is so immersive, and you as a guest are supposed to feel like a part of the experience, then anything that happens in movies or comics or books or video games will not necessarily deliberately affect what you are doing as a guest in the parks. So it allows them, maybe someone can pop in from a movie or something like that, but it allows you to be a part of Star Wars without immediately, you know, being in the middle of the immediate galactic conflict, if that makes sense.
That's interesting, too. Like I said, I think a lot of folks who come to Disney are, I think, fans in general, maybe not, you know, as immersive, as, and it gives them a brand new experience without overloading them, you know, it gives them a nice bite size, if you will. So that's really unique, I think. The other thing I think about, Dan, too, I know from Galactic Knights, picked up a lot of fun merchandise. I think the merchandise in itself could be super unique. Something you could only get at this this park and this area. I think that's a really cool idea, like a cool poster or something that, you know, you visited of some sort, like a something like that, or just unique things that have to do with that section of the park that are souvenirs and of such. But I think that's a cool way to market as well.
It's very cool. So let's go ahead and take our first break. We're going to have Jason Brame up with us to help us look a little more closely at theme park news from D23. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
You're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. And gentlemen, you know how much of an impact Patreon has on Coffee with Kenobi. It really makes a big difference in the show and what we're able to do. And I'm talking about CWK family Patreon contributors like Tyler Wiggins, Jason Hall, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, David Strutt, Jim Capron, Connie Shee, Mediocre Jedi, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, and Swara Sala. Patreon is there to help CWK with show expenses. We have our RSS feed, which is how we were able to distribute the show to so many different podcasting places like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, what have you. It costs money to host the webpage every month, microphone upkeep, travel, including airlines, hotel, food transportation. There's a lot that goes into making Coffee with Kenobi what it is, and we can't do it without Patreon contributors. And I think most of it is stuff that you'll see. Some of it is just stuff I added recently. For $5, you get a mention at the start of the show, which is what I just did. And then we also follow you on Twitter. $10 for a month, you get the Google Hangout access, where once a month we will just get online and have a video conversation about whatever you want to talk about. $35 is a coffee mug. For $50, you can get a CWK mug or a T-shirt. $100 and more, you get the mug and the T-shirt. And both $50, $100, and up, depending on how many months you contribute, you are able to co-host one show, two shows, or an entire month of shows at Coffee with Kenobi. And that's pretty cool. So far, the response has been really great.
That's wonderful. I mean, I think it's cool you to offer things as well as getting a little kickback and, you know, supporting the show, obviously. I mean, a lot of folks will just ask for help. And of course, it, you know, it's up to you, I think, as a fan, I think definitely to, you know, do what you want to do, you know, make your fandom what you want to make. And I know a lot of folks are, you know, reaching out, obviously you mentioned all of them and the insert there. And it's cool to see, again, like, I think it's nice to be able to have extra stuff and be able to Google something for your bang for your buck.
Well said, sir. It's fun. So please, if you're interested, check out the show notes or our Coffee with Kenobi homepage and click on the Patreon button for more information. Jason Brame is back on the show to join us. And normally, of course, Jason catches us up on the latest in the Star Wars canon. But D23 exploded, and we are so excited to have you on, Jason, because not only are you a huge Star Wars fan, but you know a little bit about the Disney theme parks.
that I do. I had the great pleasure of taking one of your co-hosts this week around the parks recently.
That's right.
That's right. I got spoiled.
Yeah,
I do my best.
How did that transpire?
Well, I really got to meet Jason through Rebels Reactions. We did a show together. Aaron had gotten Jason on and myself, and we had a good time doing that. And then it really blossomed at Star Wars Celebration just back in April. And I got to meet Jason face to face and just really hit it off and just so enjoyed spending time with him. Plus, on Saturday morning, it was Aaron Harris, Jason, myself, and Gary Clarkson. We all sat in line forever on Saturday morning, and we were just a few rows back for the Rebels panel on Saturday, the big panel. And so I always kind of joked with Jason that I would sit down and I look to my right, and here's Aaron, and he's just, you know, loving being in the room with all the voice actors and Dave Filoni. And I look over to Gary, and then I look over, and there's Jason, and he is literally on the edge of the seat watching the entire panel. So it was, for me, a joy because I got to watch the panel, and I got to watch those guys just eat up that Rebels panel.
Very good. Well, Jason, we know the big announcement, obviously. We have a name for Star Wars Land, which I'll let you officially give on the show. We've got news of a resort, which is my favorite news about the entire weekend. So where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, obviously we should start with the name. For the longest time, we've been calling it Star Wars Land, which really doesn't have a good ring to it. And of course, living down here in Central Florida and being highly exposed to the Disney product, it hasn't felt right. Like everything else has a name. Even Avatar Land is called Pandora, but what is a Star Wars place going to be called? For the longest time, we knew it was going to be some sort of fictional place. That hasn't been announced yet, but is part of the galaxy as we know it, if you consider, you know, the actual universe in canon. But so officially they came out and said this is going to be called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which I think is a perfect way to encapsulate everything that's going to be present in this area, and will allow them to continue that immersive theming without breaking any story conceits that they have already built within the long narrative of Star Wars.
Sure, and knowing the theme parks the way you do, with much more of an inside scoop than anyone else, because that is your place of employment, when you see the model for this, what goes through your mind?
You know, I love seeing these models when they come out, and in full disclosure, these opinions are my own and not of the Walt Disney Company's, but I think it's just pretty impressive. The detail they go to build these things before something comes out, and seeing these models, and of course the concept art, we're all trying to figure out exactly how does this fit in with the existing spaces we know. I mean, we know where in Hollywood Studios this is going to be. The construction walls are low enough that you can see the pile of dirt that's back there, but the vertical concrete walls are coming up really fast, and now being able to see the concept art and the actual model, you know, the biggest thing to me is just the massive size. In the panel, I don't know if you guys got to see it, but they did a fly-through, like with a small camera, so you can actually kind of get that in-person perspective. And for such a big area, it still feels like a small footprint, like if you take like a helicopter over it. But I think once you get down there, feet on the ground, it's going to feel pretty massive and very, very inclusive and immersive.
Well, how about this? What do we learn from D23 besides, obviously, the model is extremely detailed and you see the nooks and crannies and more kind of close-ups of where things are going to be geographically, but what have we learned specifically about this location since D23?
Right. So they came out and confirmed what a lot of us have known for a long time, is that there are going to be two full-out attractions in this place, one of which is going to be kind of a simulator thrill ride where you get to pilot the Millennium Falcon, which they tease that will have multiple endings depending on how well you pilot the Falcon, which is really kind of interesting to see how they're going to pull that off. And then the other one is a ride that's going to take you in the middle of a conflict between the First Order and the Resistance. I imagine it's some sort of dark ride or partial dark ride, partial walkthrough experience, maybe similar to the, you know, if you look at Disneyland and you look at their Haunted Mansion, there's a walkthrough section, there's a ride section. I imagine this will have kind of a combination of those two things. And I think it's going to be pretty impressive because the amount of animatronics they'll need to kind of pull off that massive scale is going to be awesome.
You've seen Pandora, so you kind of have an idea, too, of how it's going to impact Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, and Pandora has just been an amazing step forward in terms of I think a lot of this immersiveness started with Cars Land and California Adventure, and then moving that into Pandora just created an actual mystical place. And Star Wars is going to take it one step further. One of the great things about the panel, though, that's going to be in this land, they've talked about Kylo Ren and Chewbacca being there, which kind of gives a nod to the idea that maybe Launch Bay will close when Galaxy's Edge opens. Sure. Because they'll probably move those meet and greets over there. But what was really nice is they always have these homage to things that have gone on before and things that are coming soon. So one of the fun things was if for those who are big fans of Star Tours, the old Star Tours had a droid pilot that was not a very good pilot. When they revamped Star Tours with the new films, they went back in time. They did an older version, but if you go through the queue line, that droid is in prototype form in the queue, which is kind of cool. Now, going into Galaxy's Edge, which is taking place much further in the future from Star Tours, this droid is going to be present as the DJ in the cantina, which is going to be just a great nod for those Disney buffs out there.
Is it in that? What's the droid's name?
Rex, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Voiced by Paul Rubens.
So that's just going to be super fun, and we know there's going to be more and more stuff like that. The kind of the big question mark out there is it seems like such a big land. There's only two attractions. We know there'll be a cantina, and obviously a merchandise shop or two or seven. But what else? You know, what else? We know that Star Tours and most likely Jedi Training Academy aren't going away because those don't feel like they have a place in this land. But they're not. It's almost like an entry statement to this land. So the question is, what other experiences, entertainment, fun stuff are they going to have for us to explore? And that's going to be the neat part.
So we know it's going to be in 2019, but we still don't really have an actual date, do we?
No, and they've definitely left that open. If for those who are follow Disney construction, they always have to give themselves a window until they know exactly when it's going to be complete in case they run into any problems, because it just went vertical, I'd say, about 2 months ago. So they've got a long ways to go.
I didn't see anywhere in the model because obviously those steel beam structures are the AT-ATs. I didn't see the AT-ATs in the model. Did you?
I did not. I know the steel beam structures we saw a while back were from Disneyland, so I don't know if there's a slight difference, but I would also imagine that this model is the Disneyland model, because I don't know why they'd traipse the Disney World model across the country.
Agreed. Now, here's another thing. How is this construction going to impact the current Walt Disney World, particularly Hollywood Studios? Because we do have major, major news about the Great Movie Ride, which is definitely a bittersweet for me, because I absolutely love that ride.
Yeah, and that one's probably the biggest hurt to a lot of people who are really fans of the nostalgia of the parks. I mean, that one's going to, that one's a bummer. And I think that attraction is going to see a lot of throughput over the next few months as people bid goodbye and farewell to it, especially since it just got that overhaul with Turner Classic Movies recently. This is a little bit of a surprise. They take such a departure to it. I've never seen them disappoint when they revise these attractions. So I think once the new one opens, it's almost like when the Maelstrom closed and reopened to Frozen. You know, there was a lot of complaining until the Frozen ride opened, and they said, "Wow, this is actually like much better than the original." So I think we may see something like that. Hollywood Studios is going through somewhat of a rebranding. It feels like bringing in more of that actual Disney identity and steering away from the classic films. To each their own and their opinions on that. But I think the construction with that one's not going to affect. I think the park's going to remain as it is for a while. A lot of the construction's outside the walls. And the good thing is we have Toy Story Land opening up this time next year. So that's going to help people who are trying to find something to do at that park, which is having a little bit of a challenge right now, getting just finding those things to do because of all the construction.
That's a good point, Jason. My wife and I, and we took the kids down last year, well, I guess it was this year in January, and we didn't even go to Hollywood Studios because there wasn't a whole lot going on there. I think there were a lot of changes and whatnot, and I knew I was going to go in April with Dan and the guys for Galactic Nights. But to hear all this kind of stuff, it kind of really reinvigorates me we're going to bounce back again in November. So we'll be going back there to check it out, and we'll probably hopefully look at an update on construction wise and just kind of poke our heads around there and see what's going on. But I think it's cool to see this. And what's unique too, I think, you think this park will kind of give it a boost in a sense, like you mentioned Pandora in a sense, give Animal Kingdom a boost in this, for that park to kind of reinvigorate the you know, folks. And then taking away the old and bringing in the new, is that, I mean, I guess from your perspective, I know, Dave, you got to go down there a lot too. You live right down that area as well and visit the park. Is that interesting for you to see this kind of revolutionized thing? Because Star Wars is such a big, you know, facet for a lot of fans.
It's a change in kind of philosophy, it seems like, around down here, just because, I mean, Pandora, for all the kind of criticism it got as to why did Disney go with Pandora and Avatar, a film that we haven't even, you know, we haven't even guaranteed when the sequel is coming, or, you know, the planned however many movies they think they're going to make. But that immersive environment, how well they pulled that off, has driven so much traffic to that park to the point where most of the locals won't even touch it on the weekends because it is just jam-packed with people. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is going to do that tenfold because of the massive appeal of the brand and what they've proven they can do. We hadn't even started talking about the hotel.
that's the transition, because that is the thing that I'm the most excited about. I mentioned earlier that Jim Hill told us that there was going to be one. So many questions with this, Jason. For one thing, where specifically is it going to be located? Will it be like actually a part of the park?
Yeah, that's the big mystery right now. They never came out and said where it's going to be. We can take some suspicions from some of the things in the announcements. First off, the announcement of the new transportation system, like the gondola system that's going between the different resorts. They named all the resorts and others, so it leads me to believe that the Star Wars hotel will be on that system in some form or fashion. Given the idea that the hotel is supposed to be immersive, they kind of lead to the idea that maybe this hotel is going to be more of an experience and less of just a place to sleep at night. One has to wonder if it's going to be even attached to the park in some way and give access to the park after hours or I wouldn't begin to imagine what the possibilities of this could be, because they're pretty tight-lipped on everything, and they just said it's happening. They just haven't said exactly how it's happening.
And we've got some beautiful concept art now. Len Testa, formerly of WDW Today, and he runs Touring Plans. He's a huge insider as well. This is what he says he's hearing, and obviously, Jason, you don't know either, and you're just speaking for your own, just your own beliefs and opinions. You're not representing the company. But this is what Len said on Twitter. He said that he's hearing $650 a night for a Star Wars hotel for a minimum of two nights, $200 person per night for others in the room. So basically, two nights, guys, for a family of four, you're looking at $2,500. That's a lot. That's a lot of galactic credits.
You know, it's funny because I was talking to my wife about the whole, you know, obviously the construction and then Star Wars Land reveal was Galaxy's Edge. She says, "Oh, cool. Yeah, did you hear about the hotel?" And I was like, "Wait, what about the hotel?" And I didn't even know about it at that point. I had to go and jump online and check it out. But like I said, the concept art was really cool. The price tag is way up there, but I think it's doable. I think it's kind of a starting point, I think, to get people to, you know, obviously know this is going to be a huge experience for people to go and stay at a hotel. And like, again, I think Disney knocks out of the park with some of their immersive feelings of going into different hotels and themed hotels and really doing a great job of service. And you know, again, putting you in that atmosphere and putting in those types of movies or that feeling that you get when you're sleeping at night. It sounds goofy, but it is. By the end of the day, you're going down and you're, you know, obviously going through, you know, walking to the bathroom or whatever case may be, but everything is so well done that I think they can really pull it off, and the price tag would probably be, I mean, worth the price. So it's definitely something, you know, for most folks will be able to save up for and be able to maybe wait on it. But I think for one thing, we'll definitely be saving to check it out.
That's what I'm thinking too. I mean, as far as what we're hearing, what we're seeing, the staying at the resort also means you're a part of the story too. and it includes wardrobe. Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah, I got that too. I don't know what that means. Oh, I think I'm going to stay in the Stormtrooper suite. Here's your armor, Mr. Zare. I
don't think just polish it up for you, yeah.
That would be cool, right? But I think the challenge, and all of you feel free to jump in, I hope that Disney does not price the Ma and Pa Star Wars fan out of staying at the resort. Mm. I feel like this is an experience that Star Wars fans should get to have without having to give a kidney up. I mean, again, we don't have anything official, but I think it's tricky. Now, this is considered a deluxe resort, so that's how much the Polynesian is in Grand Floridian and things like that, right?
I was going to say it's fair, I think, because to say it's one of those themed hotels. The whole hotel is themed throughout this. I think of Animal Lodge, I think it is. Correct if I'm wrong, but yeah, you said there's a lot of different types of things. I think when you're going to Disney, you can pick your price tag. I know we go for the value hotels and such, so we can obviously do more in the parks and things, but I think it's up to you your price tag. And I think it's something that it's just going to have to kind of be inventive. I think they're kind of not necessarily making this official in a sense of, like, I would think that they would play with the price tag a little bit over time to get it just right, like you said, the Ma and Pa type Star Wars fans to interact.
Mm. Yeah, it feels, I mean, you mentioned the price of the other deluxe resorts, and it is, it is $400 or $500 a night to stay there without the inclusiveness that they're pitching here. And I wonder, with this idea of the 360 vacation concept, that price tag that's kind of rumored out there, you wonder if it's almost similar to like a cruise experience where once you walk in the door, everything's covered. In that case, the price tag may be more reasonable.
Well, I mean, will this swimming pool be shaped like the Millennium Falcon? There's a lot of cool potential there. And I'm going to apologize to three people in advance, Jason. I'm going to apologize to you. I'm going to apologize to my mailman, and I'm going to apologize to my wife, because as soon as they start selling exclusive merchandise, all three of you are going to be like, oh, no, here comes Dan.
That's all good. As the more excuses I have to go over there, the happier I will be.
Very good. Dave, anything that kind of hits you with the resorts and possible challenges and joys of this experience? Because really what they're doing, by the way, is they're officially taking cosplay and bringing it to a whole other level. I mean, now it's like it's financial too. A cosplay isn't just for people who want to dress up. It seems like if you're at this resort, you're a part of the cosplay experience.
Yeah, I was reading that again. I've been busy this weekend trying to read everything coming out of D23, and when I read that about what you mentioned, Dan, the wardrobe, I was like, oh my gosh, it sounds incredible. And something I thought about just walking on the show floor there at Celebration, like I said, just a few months back, and you look and see what Star Wars fans are into, and some want to do the autographs, some want to do the photos. There were whole sections of that floor that I just didn't even get a chance to see, and there's some really, really beautiful yet extremely expensive items that people buy. And I think to myself, when it comes to that hotel, there's going to be plenty of Star Wars fans who are going to go, and they can save up, and people do for Disney trips. So I can't imagine, Star Wars fans, as you guys have said it on CWK, and we know it from being at all the conventions. I mean, Star Wars fans will spend the money. I think one of the most famous things you hear is, what do most Star Wars fans say? Take my money. I think they're going to go. I would love to be a part of this. And it's just going to be like Corey said, just taking the time to save up. And I'd love to take my wife and my two kids there. It'd be just incredible.
That covers the gamut of Star Wars as far as the theme parks go. I mean, there were some really cool stuff that's got a lot of folks down here excited, especially the Epcot enhancements. They're big.
Going to have any changes forever, especially with the universe of energy. But tell us really briefly what we can expect to see from that.
Yeah, so they did confirm the Ratatouille ride, which is going to be similar to what we see in Disneyland Paris, is going to come to the France Pavilion. They're going to demolish a universe of energy and turn it into some sort of Guardians of the Galaxy themed ride, which is interesting. Apparently, Peter Quill visited Epcot when he was younger, so that's that's the tie-in there. But they also released a concept art. A lot of people are kind of discussing it, that there's going to be a huge infrastructure change from Spaceship Earth to the head of World Showplace. It looks much grander than what they did with the hub at Magic Kingdom. Beautiful landscape change, just really updating that land, getting rid of some of those buildings that currently aren't used, and hopefully doing some really nice stuff over there. With that and the Skyway transportation system and the addition of the Tron Coaster in Magic Kingdom, they're ramping up for the 50th anniversary, and it's going to be it's great fun to just watch it all happen over the next 5 years, and except for those who are running Disney races.
Too, right?
The life cycle, yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. No. So if you look at the concept art, Speedway is still there.
Really?
Yeah. So it's actually, if you believe the concept art that was released, it is behind the Speedway in that there's a walkway path, and it looks like they're building it over the train tracks. So it's going to go out into some grassy area back there that's currently just fenced in. If you drive the back roads, you can probably see where it could possibly go.
Amazing. Hmm. Yeah, that's for the backstage area. So there's definitely some real estate there. They're going to
There's a little bit. Yeah, if they hop over that train track, they can fit it there, because if they got rid of the Speedway, that talk about some backlash.
I know it. Well, Jason, thank you so much for sharing this and going sort of off script, because I knew you'd be perfect to talk to about this.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, man. And of course, Jason is a producer of the YouTube channel Star Wars The Canon Explained. He's the host of the Chance Cube podcast. Where can listeners get in touch with you, Jason, if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Absolutely. I am very active on Twitter at Star Wars TCE, or anything at the Chance Cube gets to me eventually. And of course, Jay Brame at coffeewithkenobi.com.
Well, thank you for having a cup of coffee with us, Jason.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for inviting.
You bet. Jason Brame, ladies and gentlemen. After the break, Tom has news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Right now with the news, and Tom, we tried to keep some news for you, and that wasn't that hard to do because so much information going on in the world of Star Wars.
There is a lot going on, so let's get it started. We'll start with a story from the Associated Press this week. Game and toy maker Hasbro has failed to include the Force Awakens hero Rey into the Force Awakens Monopoly game that was released in 2015. Now, you may recall this long-developing story when Hasbro announced in 2015, after a fan-based outcry with the hashtag Where's Rey, that they, quote, love the passion fans have for Rey and are happy to announce that they will be making a running change to include her in the Monopoly Star Wars game later that year. This week, in the U.S., Rey is yet to make an appearance. Yet, according to customer service spokeswoman Julie Duffy, Hasbro updated the Monopoly game in early 2016 with a Rey token. The game was sold to retailers around the world, but is not available in the U.S. for U.S. sales due to insufficient interest. Duffy said Hasbro offered the updated version to U.S. retailers, but they said they had ample inventory, so they did not choose to sell the new version with the Rey token. Duffy added that fans who had already bought the game may obtain the Rey token by contacting Hasbro customer care. She mentioned that the company has fulfilled 99 requests for the Rey token in the U.S. and 10 in Canada. Now, in case you haven't purchased the Force Awakens Monopoly game like me and are wondering what the original tokens are, the tokens that they have in there right now in the U.S. are Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, Finn, and Kylo Ren. So, gentlemen, what are your thoughts?
My immediate thought is I can't believe this is actually happening because of the, as you said, Tom, the huge uproar that happened when this initially was a thing. And, you know, time just sort of gets by and other things come along and you tend to forget. And then I see this announcement, and I'm pretty sure I saw J.J. Abrams posting a picture in his familial script saying you need to call customer service. I can't believe that. I mean, for one thing, I mean, how could you not put Rey in because she's the main character? She's clearly the main focal point of this trilogy. And it's just sort of like, it's almost like having a Justice League Monopoly game without having Superman in it. Isn't that strange?
I'm actually shocked when I heard this, and it's weird because it's almost like they didn't hold up their end of the bargain type thing. Like, oh yeah, we'll include her and they'll be out, and they just kind of let it go. And it's almost like, well, we're kind of waiting on them to release it, and if it's not that much of an outcry, well, why was it in the first place, you know, actually they kind of presented like, okay, we'll take care of this and, you know, get it out there. And now it's almost, we're almost, you know, 6 months away from the next film, and they still haven't got it out. And it's like, people want this, and it doesn't make sense for the game company to actually not fulfill, you know, what they say they're going to do.
Yeah, I would just say it just absolutely bizarre. Like Corey said, shocked. Just bizarre. And in particular, with everything that's come out of D23 this weekend, and how much of it shows Rey. And like Dan said, she's the focus of this trilogy. It's just, I'm just speechless.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, the more reading I did on this to get a full story here, it just, somewhere somebody has dropped the ball and nobody wants to claim, you know, acceptance of the issue. I mean, it seems like this originally started with Hasbro, someone making a decision that, hey, these are the characters that everybody knows, we're going to put them in the game and let's get it out there. And it's almost like they didn't understand, and, you know, who knows, you know, on Lucasfilm side, they keep, you know, secrets very proprietary, and maybe Hasbro didn't know. Now that's giving Hasbro a lot of, you know, a credit on that. But then on the other side, you know, Hasbro's kind of passing the buck saying, look, U.S. retailers didn't want to buy the one because they already had stock of the old one. And so it's somewhere or something.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying hard. They're trying harder not to do it than to just kind of give. I mean, people want this. They're consumers. You're going to make money. It just, the whole thing just baffles me. But, you know, such is life, I guess.
So it's still out there. Well, in recent news from D23 this weekend, Lucasfilms released a set of 6 film posters for The Last Jedi. These posters leave the viewer with a bit of a feeling of doom, as the outer shades of the poster are light and dark, ashy tones, with each poster highlighting the main character of the film in blood red and black tones. Now, forgive my descriptions here, but let's try to paint a picture if you haven't seen it yet. The six posters highlight, each poster is Kylo Ren, Poe Dameron, Finn, Rey, Luke Skywalker, and General Leia. Then each character image is of the upper torso of each character, covering the center of the posters up and down, with Star Wars The Last Jedi in the center. A few more observations. Kylo Ren is the only First Order character with Hux, Phasma, and Snoke absent, and the faces of each Resistance characters are not completely shown, while Kylo Ren's face is in a profile setting. Finally, the Force wielders, or presumably Force wielders, each have a lightsaber in hand, while Finn, Poe Dameron, and General Leia appear weaponless. The release date of December 15th appears on each poster in the lower left-hand corner. All right, guys, I tried to leave a little bit of discussion there for you, so let's have it.
I like your description, by the way. That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, this reminds me of Star Wars Reads Day last year when I had to chase my son and Corey DeSoto had to talk about the poster for a while. So, Corey, what do you got, buddy?
You go chase some kids, yeah. When I first saw these, and I'll play the fun game, Dan and I always try to one-up each other of who can see things first, and or who did you hear this announcement first, and he beat me to it on this one. But it was definitely, it's fun to see these come out, because I think what's in the last, like, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, movies have been coming out with character posters. So they're focusing on, obviously, specific characters that are going to be in a certain movie. They kind of do this, either it's a giant head, or it's a half face, or something like that. And they've gone with a half face here. And obviously, like you said, Tom, that they have, some people have weapons, some people don't. They kind of have this, everything's red, and there's a big red ambiance in this film. You see it in the trailer we released a couple months ago at Celebration. There's a lot going on. Red is, to me, equals dread in the sense of doom is coming. Something bad is happening. Something is going on, shaking things up. Again, there's a lot of mysteries out there. This brings more mystery to the table, I think. And the ways they're designed, it's like kind of that. They're very focused. The background's all white. The characters are all kind of very present, very detailed. Yeah, we know who they are. That's the other thing I want to, a positive aspect. We know who these characters are by the shape of their body, what the objects they're holding. From the first film, Force Awakens, we didn't know necessarily who these characters were. Now they're pretty ingrained in us as Star Wars fans. Obviously, the big three, Poe and Finn and Rey, and obviously, there's a lot going on, I guess. And I think the lack of Empire folks are the ones lacking, because they'll be so prominent in the film, the essence of, a lot of things happening to the rebels, the rebellion characters. I don't know. I'm kind of guessing from the personification of this film, red is just such a hard color to see, obviously meaning blood in some sense. So some of the things I think about too is some of these characters are blood related in a sense. So that's tying into a lot of factors, a lot of emotions, I think. And it's a lot of interesting concepts going on there.
I like the blood relation. That's cool. I definitely have something that I noticed, but Dave, I want to hear what you have to say first.
Yeah, like as Tom was describing them, I did look at the posters, and if they want the feeling to be like Corey mentioned, dread or being scared or fearful or nervous, they've got it for me. Especially after losing Han Solo in The Force Awakens and then seeing what happens at the end of Rogue One, as soon as The Last Jedi came out, that poster, and it put The Last Jedi in red, I was nervous. They're getting the right feeling here. But I'm hoping that we don't lose Luke in this. It's hard to know, but it's making me nervous. And so that's the feeling that I'm getting as I look at the red, the prominence of red.
It's, I think obviously the red is not accidental, because the font, the script of Star Wars is in red, highlighted famously. People have talked about this quite a bit, and rightfully so. The one thing that I do want to point out that I think we can clearly say for certain is of the six posters, there's only one character where you can see their eyes. Everyone else, you can only, the nose is the top part of their facial features. So that, Corey, you're a designer. That can't be accidental.
Yeah, I don't know what, you're alluding to Kylo Ren, I'm assuming, that showing his,
right.
his scar. So that's the reason they're showing his eye and his nose, I think, is the scar there. He's carrying something. There's something going on there. The way he is and direction they're looking, you could really put things together and you know, match up the things that the ways they're looking. Seems like all the rebellion characters are all looking towards the left. Rey is looking towards the right. So is Kylo Ren. Is there something going on there? Does it mean something or does it mean nothing? You know, I don't know. It's so ambiguous. You're right. And it's so cool. I mean, it's on the other end too. It's like someone took a paintbrush and just painted these characters right on the page. And it gives it that really hard feeling of something is rough and ragged and dread. And the sense of just like, there's something that's falling apart. And it just gives it that nature of red. We look back to even, the celebration poster was all in red. If you remember that, there's a very unique concept here to red. And I don't know if that has to do with, the red lightsaber or I don't know. There's so much going on here. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully it's not, I mean, huge changes and shifts in the fandom is my personal hope, but, you never know. It might be for the best.
The only thing I want to say about the eyes is I feel like, because Kylo Ren is the only one where we can see his eyes, to me, that means he has clear vision of who he is and what he wants to do. And everyone else can't see. Literally, they can't see on these posters because their eyes are gone. So they are all the ones that are maybe having their worlds turned upside down.
Is that a Macbeth reference? His eyes?
Not deliberately.
I don't know. You're the... Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So, I mean, anything more than that, we're definitely walking the line of our no speculation policy, but these are beautiful. Let's close out this particular story. Tell me your favorite of the six posters. Corey, let's start with you.
Sure, yeah. I'd definitely go with Luke. I'm just excited to see what he's going to do in the next film, and more Luke is good with me.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm echoing what Corey said. I really like the Luke poster the best.
Tom?
Yep, I happen to like the Poe Dameron poster. Mm. I look forward to what he has coming in this movie, and just I love the jacket, and the rebellion or the resistance insignia on his shoulder.
You know what? Mine is the Poe one as well. And maybe that's because I'm still hoping to get that thing I wore in the Target commercial. I don't know, but yeah, it's really, I think that one's striking. They're all great, and honorable mention for me definitely goes to the General Leia one, because that one's pretty striking too.
Royalty, man.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, finally, Good Morning America released clips of their conversations with the cast of The Last Jedi and director Rian Johnson on their Twitter account this weekend. The conversation is very light with the cast as the topic of the character DJ, played by Benicio del Toro, is discussed. And Mark Hamill mentions the last DJ character he recalls is the son on Roseanne. Rian Johnson dispels any thoughts that this could be Ezra from Star Wars Rebels, but does reveal that DJ is what they call the character in the movie, but DJ does stand for something. Then he gives wide eyes. The cast discusses trash compactors and Dianagas, and Gwendolyn Christie clarifies we never actually see her in a trash compactor, so how does she get here, she says. Another clip is Daisy Ridley discussing what she may say to Luke in the last moment when we see them, and she replies in the interview, "Can you take this? My arm is really aching." And Mark Hamill mentions the popular social media joke that, does a lightsaber come with a hand? And Rian Johnson gives us the more serious approach to the question. He hopes that this is the question that everyone is asking. What do they say to each other? For Johnson, this is the question. This question was the starting point to creating the film. He states that it is not just what Rey wants from Luke, but rather, what is going on with Luke Skywalker? Why has our hero exiled himself on this island? Then, when Hamill is asked to reply to his apparently cold reception on the island, he mentions that, in very Hamill-esque, he says, it's, a senior citizen coping with an uninvited guest. But then seriously, Hamill discusses that this is what he loves, all of this waiting. He says the fans are so passionate and the anticipation is better than Christmas morning. Johnson is asked about what about the title, The Last Jedi, is interesting to him, and he says that it's difficult to talk about that without talking about the context of the movie. Its meaning, The Last Jedi, evolves throughout the film, he says. Luke and Rey are the beating heart of the film, and the meaning is tied up in their relationship. And finally, Johnson replies to his statement that General Leia's story wraps up nicely by saying Carrie gives a beautiful performance and the film wasn't meant to be her final film. There will be scenes that mean a lot to a lot of people. Hey, a collection of those clips can be found by visiting the Coffee with Kenobi website. And I'll put a link to the Coffee with Kenobi website directly to those scenes on my Twitter page at Draftline. Lots to talk about here, guys. Go.
Yeah, there is a lot to talk about. And some of these things I had not heard until you shared them with us, so thank you for that. I'm glad that Rian Johnson has been cagey about it. Initially, I was afraid there wouldn't be as much secrecy as there was with The Force Awakens, but I believe that is still the case. And there's more we can talk about with the behind-the-scenes featurette, which we will in our coffee chat segment. But the thing to me is the fact that Mark Hamill, and they're saying that Rey and Luke are the beating heart of this film, and I feel like that was somewhat what I expected, but hearing that is very reassuring.
Yeah, you know, it's cool to see these interviews, and I know we're a whiles away. I think they're really trying to keep things under secret, tight-knit groups, and a lot of the stuff I guess I hadn't heard as well. I've been trying to dodge things here and there, but it's cool to see that Luke and Leia have such a great relationship as well. And one thing that comes to mind for me is Luke being away for so long. Yeah, what's going on? And how has Leia responded to that? We want to know what Rey has to say. We want to know what Leia has to say as well. And that's something that's kind of been brewing in my head. Like, and obviously with the loss of Carrie Fisher, I mean, I got goosebumps when you're talking about that, Tom, just to know that the emotion is going to be so strong with this film and her presence and her acting and bringing Leia back. And obviously it was cut short, I think, as the saga continues, obviously, in her storyline. I want to know more about that and what's going to happen. But, I mean, this gets me more excited to see what's going to happen next. New characters coming out. And Rian Johnson, I guess, having such great passion, I think. We hear that from a lot of the directors. J.J. Abrams as well. He had a lot of passion for Star Wars. And not just trying to keep, you know, people from trying to figure things out, but just driving those characters, you know, right in the hearts of fans. So, you know, kudos to them for keeping that, you know, lit for us.
They all have to walk such a fine line on these interviews. And it just seems like such a difficult thing without slipping. And it amazes me that all of these persons, they're very skilled, from Daisy Ridley to John Boyega, Rian Johnson, obviously J.J. Abrams, all these people are so skilled at giving us just a little bit to get us excited, like Corey said, and I ditto that. I can't wait. And all these little interviews, all the D23 stuff, it just keeps the interest going.
Every time Rian Johnson does one of these things or says anything, I just like him more and more. I feel like he's really going to be a very special, important part of the overall Star Wars mythology.
Oh, I think the thing that I was most excited to see coming out of D23 and anticipating was, you know, some kind of a trailer, but we got the behind the scenes. And I when that came out with Force Awakens, that was so awesome. And this one was equally as exciting for me. I had to watch it a few times before it really sank in what I was looking at and seeing as scenes went by quickly, and to see Carrie Fisher and her line about, you know, it's all about family, it's the most important thing, meant so much. So I would say it was the behind the scenes video for me.
Can't argue with that. We're going to talk much, much more about the behind the scenes video in our next segment. So Tom, thank you as always for sharing the news with us.
Absolutely. And we'll talk to you in a week.
We will take a break, and when we come back, we're going to break down Last Jedi behind the scenes. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Thrawn and Empire's End Aftermath, to our Blockbuster Movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. We're in the Coffee Chat segment, and this is the segment I am really, really excited about speaking to you two gents on. It's the Last Jedi behind the scenes. I guess you could say it's a sizzle reel, although that is sort of a tricky buzzword after what happened with Celebration in London with Rogue One, because people wanted a trailer, they didn't get one. I remember seeing something like this for the Force Awakens, and Corey, you scooped me on that one. I believe Ben and I were driving, I think, to catch the plane to go to Hollywood for that thing, so I missed it when it first came out, and I liked it then. I feel like this is much more powerful than any behind-the-scenes sizzle reel that we have gotten since Disney bought Lucasfilm. I feel like there's a lot of power, a lot of depth, a lot to absorb in this particular thing. What did you two think?
You
want to go, Corey? Sorry.
Sure, yeah. I think you're right, Dan. There's a lot to take in here. I think there's so much more at stake. I think we know we're over the fact we're getting Star Wars films. We're over the fact the first one's, you know, done with, and we've seen it. We've, you know, talked about it. We've had a Rogue One film come out, a standalone film. It succeeded. This is just the next step in the progression of the saga. It's emotional almost in the sense of, like, this isn't the last one. This isn't the one's going to finish it out. But I think this is one that's a very pinnacle, I think, to the saga itself. It has an epicness feel to it. It's not just the, you know, music in the background. It's not just the sound bites. It's not just the fun things we get to see, the new characters and new creations and whatnot. But it is definitely something that's going to bring a lot of gravity, I think, to the Star Wars canon, to the Star Wars fandom, to the Star Wars, community. It's going to really strike a chord, I think, and I'm excited for that. I'm very excited for that, not in a bad way or a good way. I think there's something that's gonna be very special about this. They're building up to be something very well done, something unique, something you're not expecting. I think that's what Daisy really said, you're not expecting this. But then again, tied all the way back to family and all the way back to these characters I've started from the game to the beginning, with Luke and Leia and Han, and letting them, just champion on.
Just to piggyback on Corey's statements, something that I've been hearing a lot within Star Wars fans is the effect of, like, The Force Awakens on Rogue One and perhaps even this Han Solo movie, meaning can we not go outside the lines too far of Star Wars? And if you notice, like, when Rian Johnson is talking, Mark Hamill, Daisy Ridley in that clip, John Boyega says it as well, that Rian Johnson has brought something fresh and new. I wonder if this really is the one, more than the first three movies here, that's really going to be pushing the limits and changing what we know about Star Wars. You get a sense they feel comfortable in doing that now. It'll be curious to see. I've heard Anthony Breznican, remember he did the first interview back at Celebration in Anaheim, and he interviewed all the cast and everything. And I heard him talk recently, and he said that, he's really thinking that the executive team there at Disney and obviously Lucasfilm are really looking to make it feasible for us to be talking about Star Wars 40 years from now. So we've done 40 years And to make it fresh and new, you gotta change it up a little bit. And just like Corey said, I think it's gonna be something here, a little shocking, a little outside the lines, but I think in a good way that does hopefully keeps us interested for 40 more wonderful years.
I think the odds of that are pretty high. For sure. Interesting thing about this to me is, yes, special effects are wonderful, but to me, the mark of a really good film is you could take the special effects away and the narrative weight of the piece is still there. And because most of this is clips behind the scenes without finished special effects, a few things strike me. One, the physicality of this film and the athleticism displayed by the actors, which is not news because that's been going on, but this seems to be taking it to a whole different level. The scene where Daisy Ridley appears to be fighting three different people at once is quite striking, as is I believe that we saw Finn in an X-Wing pilot uniform just very, very briefly, which I thought was really fantastic. And just sort of seeing, or for me personally, hoping that I'm going to get to see Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia on screen together for the first time since 1983, I think that would be very, very meaningful, because clearly Carrie Fisher and her absence is going to be felt in a much heavier way, because this is the last time we know she'll be on screen as Princess Leia. There's no way that can't be. So I think it's going to have a similar emotional reaction, much like Heath Ledger's role as the Joker did in The Dark Knight.
Oh, that was a good comparison. I like that about Heath Ledger and the gravity they bring to a film and to a character that's so iconic. I mean, it's interesting too, the fact that we kind of know some things that have happened in the real world. Obviously with Carrie Fisher passing and the gravity there and the fandom, the movement there. We get bits and pieces, but then, you know, everyone wants to speculate, everyone wants to talk about it. We don't know anything that's going to happen until we sit our butts in this chair and really physically view the film. And it's always, to me, it's sitting in that chair and seeing it and realizing, okay, yeah, you're right. These characters haven't been seen each other for a long time. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? But then bringing in these new characters again and showing them off and even newer characters to the franchise, and tying those back in, like you said, Dave, with Rogue One, with all the other things that have kind of building up to this moment, and it's just the second trilogy here. It's fascinating to see that this is so pinnacle, and I think that this is going to be really something special. I think even the title alone, I go back to the Last Jedi. It's ominous. There's really ominous feelings, and these clips, these people, these sound bites they're giving her, saying this is something that's going to be larger than maybe the franchise itself. I mean, it's crazy to think about such impact, you know, that they would have.
I like that, and I also believe this is going to take this and kind of give it another bit of texture, another bit of a gravitas to it, because The Force Awakens had some very strong narrative emotional beats. It was a great, powerful film in many ways, and I've said this before, and it's almost a perfect Star Wars film, but you can go deeper. And I think the best comparison we can use is the difference between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back. Major, serious narrative beats and important things that have long-lasting impact on these characters. But Empire takes it another way. And I haven't seen The Last Jedi. And I don't want to fall into the trap of saying, oh, this is going to be The Empire Strikes Back of the trilogy. I feel like that's easy. That's easy to say. We don't know that.
Sure.
But it does seem like there's something... There's a lot of heavy going on, but not for the sake of heaviness. It's more because we these characters and Star Wars fans and the audiences deserve to let these characters become more ingrained in us and to learn more about them and see how they grow and tick. Make them multifaceted and not one-dimensional, and I feel so confident that is going to happen. This encouraged me so much, and I was already very excited about The Last Jedi. But I feel like this shows me, wow, this is going to be a narrative chapter that is really going to leave us just in many ways just staggered at what we are going to see beyond just being excited about a Star Wars film.
That's a good point, Dan. I think what's interesting to me as a fan too, you know, the next Marvel movie will come out and I'm like, oh, that looks great. It's like fun. And, you know, kind of pump it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, the last Guardians of the Galaxy was fun and great, but you know, it just was another kind of Marvel movie and it was great and fun to go see and, you know, kind of experience and that's it. It's over. This, I think, is something different. This is something special. I think this is something that they're not just pumping this out. They're not putting, you know, some faux-tas special effects in and just throwing some characters together and making them cardboard cutouts. I'm not saying that's Guardians of the Galaxy either, but I think they are putting real passion into what they do and making this film and giving us a film that will, like said Dave, last another 40 years, right into fandom for new folks, for, you know, my kids to be able to go and watch and grow up with. So it's not just a one run of the mill, one in the bucket, and our Star Wars down, crotched off the list. This is something that's going to be shaking, I think, the saga itself.
When I think, like Dan said, and you as well, Corey, is I keep going back to this. I've talked to Aaron about this a number of times when we're watching and reviewing some of the Rebels episodes this past year, is, you know, I keep thinking about George Lucas's quote. I can see him on the red carpet back in December of 2015, and they asked him, you know, why is there so much staying power? And like George Lucas said, you know, there's been a million different TV shows and movies that have had, you know, spaceships and blasters and laser bolts and all that kind of stuff. But what is it about Star Wars? And like Dan said, it's the narrative. It's this story. And of course, I've mentioned this a number of times with Aaron, is the mythology. It's just got it. And it really looks like, from everything that all the actors and actresses are saying, as well as the director, that the story is going to keep pushing forward in really neat and new and creative ways. And that's exciting. And that's why it is different, Corey, than, like you said, than just some Marvel movies. It's just the narrative.
So one question I had, obviously, when anything breaks like this, to me, it's almost like, oh, that was cool to see, or, oh, I didn't expect that, or obviously some fun things. Obviously, and the other thing, too, like you mentioned, Dan, was behind the scenes, the unfinished part things, the crew kind of working together and such. And I'm curious to know what your guys' favorite part of the season reel is. I think for me, it's hard to nail something down, but it's, I mean, I get chills when I see Luke Skywalker. I get chills when Princess Leia has these one-liners that are just like, whoa, man, that's heavy. You know, I think one thing that stuck out to me the most was Daisy Ridley's line. She read something, this is something that's going to be unexpected, but I can't remember it verbatim, but it's unexpected in the sense of something they didn't expect as the actors in the film, but it's worthy of Star Wars itself. So which is really neat, I think, because even if you can surprise the actors who have read the script and know the characters the best, then you've got something going for you, I think, or in for a treat.
Well, I think for me, can I get two, Corey?
Yeah, go for it, sure.
There's two of them. Really, at the beginning there, when you see Mark Hamill with some green tape on his right – on his right hand, right, his fingers.
Yeah.
And obviously he's looking at the lightsaber and they're going to obviously, you know, animate in the mechanical hand. That was really neat to see. And I'm curious to see what they do say to each other at that point. And the other one is, I guess I'm bookending it, right? Right at the beginning and at the end when Carrie Fisher talks about it being family. And, I think about what Mark Hamill said this weekend about how he's selfishly wishes she would be there this weekend to get the Disney Legend Award. And I think I feel the same way, just upset that she's not around to not only get that award, but to see how well this movie does. And obviously I wish she could have been in the next one as well. But those are my two favorites, hearing her talk and seeing Luke Skywalker hold that lightsaber again.
And for me, it's the, again, the physicality of what we're seeing and the weight of it. But it's not just for the sake of trying to be heavy. And, oh, this is the second film in a trilogy, so we have to make it hit these emotional beats. It feels like it's original and fresh because it's original and fresh, and because Rian Johnson has a vision and he's a passionate Star Wars fan who's a complex, beautiful storyteller. And I feel like if what we're seeing in this is any indication of what we're going to see on December 15th, then we are in for an amazing, amazing ride that I cannot wait for. And so here we go with us getting even more and more excited. And that's what Lucasfilm is good at. And no complaints here. We're going to take our last break and return with your emails. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast, and remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Player FM, our Coffee with Kenobi website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And of course, if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. It really, really helps the show, helps us get the word out to bring in even more of our Coffee with Kenobi family listening audience. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. And while you're checking us out there, don't forget, we've got a CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. From Jeff Fitzcapes, killer work on your podcast. I've come to really love your discussions, and I'm inspired by your being a teacher who uses Star Wars in your work, along with your co-hosts who do similarly, to bring more of that into my work as a pastor. Also, bonus thanks to you and the crew for your positive attitude and decency. There's a lot of whining filling airwaves and the internet, and it's nice to know you will all provide thoughtful examination of all things Star Wars and do it as fans who started a place of delight with what Star Wars has been for you and will most likely be for you going forward. It makes a difference. Thank you, Jeff. I really, really appreciate that so much. A big, big thank you to my guests today, Corey Club and Dave Motters. Thank you, gentlemen, for having a cup of coffee with me. Where can listeners get in touch with each of you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Sure, yeah. I'm all over the place on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find me at Corey Club on Twitter and Instagram as well. You can email me at CoreyC@coffeewithkenobi.com if you want to ask a question or get in touch. And yeah, enjoy the drilling pictures and the random news and whatnot. So do my best there.
The best place to find me is very simple, at David_Motters. And you can also find me, hopefully, in the upcoming season on Rebels Reactions with Aaron Harris. And go back in the archives and listen to a few of the episodes we've done there.
Thank you to each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We'll be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.